happens to be
silly.
And I'm not even thinking about the PCs picking it up. I'm thinking about the NPCs coming across it, kicking a coke can out of the way and exploding in a huge fire.
Right. Well, I'm thinking that's part of the thing there is basically if magic gets the look and feel of whatever it is. In other words, if the evil sword or the powerful sword has like the aura of evil slash powerful or whatever, it would not be subtle at all as far as the rules of magic, but I'm looking at stuff not only for the magic right around the corner thing, but if somebody's got like the magic sword, like I had one in the campaign that was like that spirit sword thing, like out of the Chronicles of Riddick I was telling Travis about. And so.
Not to change the subject, but I have to go back to work now. So it was a pleasure talking to you
about that. Damn it.
And I will talk to you all again soon.
Cool.
Change your address. Alright. Oh.
So yeah, that's... I think that after all those mechanical failures, oh gosh, his work schedule's totally interfering with our gaming. We have to find a way to make him money for free.
Me first.
Okay. Yes, I think we'd all like to live a vida loca. Let's have a break and figure out what to talk about and stuff, because Abel's also on, I am seeing.
Okay.
So he may provide a...
I'll see if he wants to.
Yeah. See if he's got any strongly held opinions, because... Yeah, I'm not sure what we want to get done with it. Because I'm not sure how I feel about the artificing essence thing, but I don't mind trying it out. Seeing.
Okay.
I'm here.
So am I.
Excellent. Well, was Abel coming on or no?
Yeah, he wants some time before we can make it on though.
Okay.
I've been talking to him about is that he's planning to host a campaign.
What day?
I'm not sure when. It's for him and some of his friends.
Oh.
Other people that are not in the HC community.
Oh. Bummer. Okay.
He invited me along, though, so yay.
Cool. That psychic comprehend languages thing, even though it's subtle, I was thinking I wouldn't mind having that be a spell, because then if somebody doesn't want it, they're not stuck with it. And it's one pause to get rid of it.
But then it doesn't work. I shout at the man. I now understand him. That's great. He's run the fuck away because I've just shouted at him.
That's why I said the subtle part.
If you want it, then magic isn't... Then magic isn't big and obvious.
It could be sparkly. You could have sparkly.
If you want magic to be big and obvious, and then you say, "Oh, apart from this spell,"
well,
then
maybe there's a neat color thing. Maybe it makes pretty colors on your face or something. That's still obvious.
So what's it do again?
It's the comprehend languages.
What do exactly?
You can understand the person speaking to you, even if you don't speak their language, was the intent of the idea to begin with.
Yeah.
If I may make a suggestion, I would make it really obvious that something odd's going on.
Well, that is if it's a spell.
Oh, alright.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible to have it be big and obvious without yelling and screaming and waving your arms at the guy before doing it.
But isn't that the whole point of how the spells are cast? That they are that. If they're not that, then what the hell have we been doing all the rest of the
time? I think he just means yelling and screaming because that's the easiest way to make the spell obvious.
Uh-huh.
That's why he uses it so much.
Uh-huh.
Right, so it's not obvious that somebody's casting a spell.
You can
it's
make
obvious
it...
that something weird is happening.
Well, no, you could still, like,
yeah, it's obvious that something weird... Oh.
Well, here's just to put it on a strange loop, like, what if somebody came up to start talking to you and you went, oh, you held a finger and then you put up both hands and a rainbow appeared between them and you spoke through the rainbow and he could understand you. This is still big and obvious. But it may have the benefit of not scaring him to death. Unless he's afraid of rainbows, in which case he'll run away.
Right.
So you're still satisfying the magic being big and obvious while not doing the necessary yelling and screaming. Hence, you're still in the same kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, yes.
Do you think that could work?
No.
Why?
Because of your GMing style. Everything has to be a similar effect, or you forget it. Oh, not your GMing style, your memory.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can't help my bad memory, but the important thing is that the spell effect would be able to go on.
Right, but if you individualize these spell castings, oh, this one's big and shouty, this one's a rainbow, this one's a dragon appears, then you're never going to remember. You're going to have things where the guy freaks out. Well, why the fuck did he do that? I had a rainbow appear. Oh, I forgot. Hang on a second. Let's rewind the 5 minutes you've just done of trying to chase him down. Because that is what is going to happen unless you have everything be the same sort of idea of casting. Then,
well, what if in order to be understood you have to shout at the guy? He might think you're Italian.
Possibly, but then you're not being obvious.
What if you had to shout and wave your arms a lot? Then you're definitely Italian.
What if you had to talk loudly and slowly?
There you go.
Then you're English. I mean, it doesn't mean
that. Mind me make a suggestion that would make it obvious? Without...
You're big and shouting and your head turns red.
Well, why are we even going over this? I mean...
Because I want that spell effect in there is why.
Because what spell effect? You want the effect of the spell that people can talk to one another.
Well, I'm thinking that...
Or you want the rainbow.
No, I don't care about... For? No, not the rainbow. The rainbow is just a fantastic
right, so
example.
You want the idea that people can talk to one another.
Yeah, well,
what is wrong with the suggestion of having to touch somebody? It's subtle, it's a psychic power, it feeds off of the idea that you don't need to know the language in order to speak to someone. It answers all of the things which have come up so far. What other thing are we not comprehending that you think would make it better?
So that
we can go, right, fine, you don't like that particular bit of the idea, let's think of something else.
The thing that, well, I don't care if you have to touch them and stuff, for the psychic power, the part of the language spell I liked was you first, where you actually are still going through your own filter, that, like, if you've got It's the Babel fish effect. You roll your language. If you make your language, you roll that power. If you make that power and you're touching them, then you can talk. That kind of thing.
Right. That's the point. That is the problem. I hate that idea. That is just complete and utter shite. You do not create a spell. You don't have something that
I like
relies
it.
On a character
uh-huh.
rather than... Yes. Hello, Crackly Ape.
Jesus, Abel.
It's not too bad, just mildly crackly. Crackly-like.
You originally postulated that you didn't like that because it eliminates a million different... Sorry, the person who spent a million points in all the languages.
Well, no,
it can only affect one person at a time, and they have to be touching them in order to comprehend their language.
Hold on, let's let Abel fix his shit because it's really all distracting. Right. I have trouble hearing you.
Abel, just turn the Tesla coil off.
I assume none of you have seen the Doctor Who episode yet.
I did.
Because otherwise I would suggest that he is one of the...
Fly-headed guys, yeah. No, I saw that the other night. It was nice, but it irritates me that they're only making 4 in a year. Still.
Was it like a special episode or just normal length?
Like 60 minutes. Yes, you're still clicking. Are you trying to communicate through Telegraph rather than Skype?
It's a new revolutionary bandwidth-saving message. You telegraph over Skype.
Wow. I don't know what Abel does to his computer when he's not doing Heroic Cthulhu, but it's bad, whatever it is. I think he just dropped. Probably throwing his computer down the stairs. Yeah. Alright, so what were you saying, Richard, before Abel tried to click to communicate?
Well, what is wrong with the idea of touching somebody? No, we had that bit. I'm saying no. That you don't have something that is limited by the fact that you don't know a language. Or, know a bit of the language.
It fills a niche. And also, it doesn't invalidate all the points people spend in languages.
But neither does the idea that you have to touch somebody in order to communicate with.
True. I like Richard's version a lot. It can only talk with one person, which means if you have the language, it's much better because you can talk with multiple people. Or overhear if people say something like, hey, that over here, I think we should eat him. Or, you know, stuff like that.
I understand that it's limited, but why would anybody learn strange languages if all you gotta do is touch one person at a time?
Because you have to cast it every time. You lose sanity. It costs magic points. You're only going to be conversing with one person at a time. If I'm in a group of people, for instance, if Sanskrit was on the line right now, and she could only understand you, then what the hell would she understand about the rest of this conversation?
So you can only do one person at a time. How long are you able to communicate with them for before?
While you're in contact with them. Okay. Touch them. Say, hi, I'm shaking your hand. Oh, now we can talk. What's that? You want your hand back? Not until we're done talking. I don't know.
I like that.
I didn't think about the idea of how long it would take as a limit, whether you would still have to be in contact with them all the time.
Yeah, I like that if you let go, then you got to recast. That right there would give it a good limiter. Plus, if you had to talk slowly and loudly to them, thus proving the English superiority, while continuing to shake their hand, I don't think you have to talk slowly and loudly.
The touch limiter is enough, in my opinion.
Yeah, but the other one's funny.
Yeah, but the touch limiter gives enough hilarity of just like the guy, like, give me my hand back. And
you're invading my personal space. Yes.
Yeah.
You get enough fun out of it that way.
away, Logan, you get enough.
I don't know. Yeah. I think Richard's got me about 60% convinced, although I'm thinking having to talk slowly and loudly, that would sell me on it, definitely.
Nope. Nope. That's...
I'm English! How are you?
Yeah, I'm kind of resisting this because that's exactly how I'm going to be playing Thelonious. Even if he understands another language, he's not ever going to be talking in their language. He's only going to be talking slowly and loudly in English, even if he understands them.
That's awesome. I think Abel's back.
I understand.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's see if we get the clicking.
I think the spell is pretty much complete. Just the cost needs to be decided.
Yeah, well, let's get Abel's opinion on it here, because he's a neutral third party, and he stopped clicking at us.
Yay.
Can we hear you, Abel?
No, we can't.
I heard a little rumble in the background.
You can't hear me now, then.
Holy shit, it's not a myth. The legendary Abel exists.
Okay, Abel, we've got a couple of different thoughts on a language spell. Psychic ability, rather, sorry. Language psychic ability. One of them that's been put forward is that you have to be touching the person, then cast it, and then they can understand you and you them. While you're touching, when you let go, then you have to start over. The other thought is that you have to be touching them, cast it, you can understand them, they can understand you, but you speak slowly and loudly because all wogs understand you if you do this. And it proves it.
Right. I think the talking slowly and loudly is, dumb. And it's enough that you just touch somebody. If you're touching them, first of all, you got to be in kind of an intimate social contact to get them to trust you enough to do that. Otherwise, you know, there's some chance, depending on your culture, mm-hmm. there's some chance they may freak out.
Oh, yeah.
But if you can pull that off and use it successfully, no, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can speak normally or whisper or whatever, and they'll understand you.
Hmm. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Kaitanos, I assume you were the talk slowly and loudly party.
Oh, I was absolutely against that.
Oh, I was. I was totally into it. It's the way that people, American tourists have been trying to communicate with people for years. I just wanted to see it proved right.
But it doesn't work!
It always works. They understand and will do what I want if I yell at them enough.
But, Richard, you can understand what we say, can't you?
You are using my language. It is English. I'm surprised you can understand me. Particularly as you live relatively close to your politicians.
That was cold.
Alright, well, let's decide on magic point cost. I'd like it to be high enough where somebody who went and spent all kinds of points in languages doesn't feel totally screwed.
8 seems good to me. It's a hefty cost, but it's not too hefty, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think I would put it at 6 or 7 so that you could talk to 2 people in a day if you were an average person, rather than just the 1.
What do you think, Abel?
Yes, my 7 sounds fine to me.
Let's go with 7. I'll let Richard write it up, and whenever I get the thing, I'll put it in the thing.
Right. Or you could put some kind of specific limit on it, some kind. It's simpler to just make it 7 points.
Mm-hmm. I'm good with if somebody blows a clarity, then they can speak with more people.
Oh, by the way, Logan,
mm-hmm.
on a very brief off-topic, it's kind of related to the magical system.
Well, we kind of got done with that. We kind of got done with that spell. Richard made a note of it.
No, it's a different thing. How many powerful cards are in the magic deck?
Like 2 or 3.
I think there's about 7 or 8. Moment off the top of my head, there isn't a lot.
I thought there was 2 or 3,
thanks.
But
that's all.
You mean powerful spells or powerful cards?
Mm-hmm. Powerful spells. You mean
yeah,
Yeah. Or emit, like, cards that say draw power.
Ah, that I don't know.
I think two or three.
Alright, thank you, like that, so that's all.
Yeah, eventually, eventually we'll be able to figure out that, but what I'm wanting to do first is, like, Richard already sent one document, now we're figuring out new stuff, so I'll probably, tonight try to go through the document they sent me and make those spells into cards and have the cards on the vassal thing, and then when new spells come out, then I'll, be able to just add the cards. And trying to figure out how I want to look, make the cards look, but I can figure that out later. So.
Purple's a good color.
It's hard to read black on purple. And when you get old, you'll appreciate that more.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to have... You can have a purple back and a white front.
Yeah, well, I'll figure out something. I might, like, because, like, on the cards that are no longer being used, rather than just have the border, I wanted to have a slash through it, like a blue slash that you could still read the typing and stuff. But the way that the paint stuff works, if I put the purple slash in, then everything that was in it is now gone, which pissed me off because I think that'd get into the layering things or whatever, and I'm just not that slick, so.
Why not just put it at the very top of the, just modify the top of the border?
Why do you want to slash through it?
Just so it's really obvious when you draw it that, you know, it's not being used. Like, a little bit more obvious than it is now. But you can still read it, so if it is being used, then, you know.
I mean, you can always take them out.
There's a reason that I've got them in and want to keep them in, though.
It's because of the combat rubbish.
That's part of it. Plus, in the future, I may have need of them. There may be cyber stuff. There may be vampires.
Add them back in. I mean, it's not...
Yeah.
You might forget to add them back in.
You can put them in the deck. You can put them in Vassal without putting them in the deck.
Oh, yeah. No, I realize that, but there's...
Yes.
There's also... Anyway. They also modify card play. Like, if there's something on top, but you get play me, or you get a card that's not being used, it covers it. So even if you do get a Force Master plan, you end up drawing a random card. So there's other card play reasons also that they're in there. It's not just laziness. It may have started as just laziness, but it's developed.
I just leave it as the blue border.
Yeah. But I'll figure that out later.
Yeah.
Okay, who else had a spell they wanted to discuss?
Or any ideas?
I posted on the forums without a reply. Just, this is a real quick thing. Just bang it out. But remove the Butterfinger Regent requirement for Dropsy because that'll make the spell inaccessible, say, if you ever do a sci-fi campaign or a medieval campaign or the pieces are away.
Yeah. I saw that.
I have no idea even about that. So, I mean, it's not a international friendly.
Yeah, so I agree. You could have it where it could be either something slick like that, or you could even carry around a Butterfinger candy bar.
Something slick or slippery.
Yeah.
Just that.
I wouldn't. I would restrict them to things which can't spill out. Hard things. A rock. A dead bat. A horseshoe, a knife. I wouldn't go with the, you've fallen in the river.
Well, why is there even the butter's coming?
The butter's coming out.
Oh, wait, what is the name of this spell again?
Dropsy.
Dropsy.
Why is there even a regent requirement?
For what? For the spell Dropsy. Itself?
Do we have a reason?
Well, the same reason that there's regent requirements for other things.
Game balance?
Kind of. A little bit of game balance, a little bit of flavor. The question you gotta consider when you're thinking about having regents is, do you want casters to carry around random shit, or do you want them to be able to not have to carry it? Because if they have to carry it, then there may be certain times in their lives where, like, for example, if you had to carry around, Even, because it's just like little test tubes.
A dead bat, for example.
Like, what if the bat spell used up the dead bat, and so you had to keep getting more dead bats, and then Sanskrit catches you with, like, 8 dead bats on you. That, now you're in trouble. But if you don't have the regents, then, you know, she wouldn't know that you're the giant dead bat at the window or something.
Yeah, well, by the nature of the dropsy spell, it doesn't even seem to need a regent.
Well, by the nature of underwater breathing, it doesn't seem to need a regent, but I don't mind having regents in there. Like, for example, if you guys carry, like, just a smear of grease, for example. Most countries have grease. And it's in, like, a little test tube. You've got, like, I'm not talking full-size test tube. I mean, little short test tubes. If you got a little short test tube of air, a little short test tube of grease, and they're just on your body somewhere, then for normal things, that doesn't mess you up. But in the rare thing where maybe you went through a gate and you ended up naked on the other side, there are gates that do this, and all your shit is back there, then unless you got a Highlander, who the fuck is going to Highlander a tube of grease? Possibly somebody that Roy likes
to drop his spell.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Well, I suppose you could pass up the tube of grease. It's a melee weapon. I could stab someone in the eye with it.
So, yeah. So.
Well, how many spells require reagents or regents?
I don't know. Maybe
I think
half
about
a dozen.
Maybe 10.
10?
Yeah. Not many.
Yeah.
Present.
It's, we
mostly
haven't.
Mostly artifact this.
Yeah, we haven't gotten up to the point where you've got to have, like, a really good drug kit in your car type thing, you know? Like in, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, but it's all spell stuff.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, I don't know, it's,
Yeah, where's the description of Dropsy?
It's
first page of the magic system. Spell idea, Dropsy. It's like 7 or 8 down.
What? I'm blind.
It's okay, you live in New York. We can understand.
His bandages slipped down over his eyes briefly, but he'll be okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know, I, see, I never thought on, because I'm still thinking about regents, reagents, Kathy Regis, whatever, and I now I'm giving it additional thought. I've also noticed that in a lot of systems that require them, that after a while, they're just not there anymore. In other words, it goes back to players forget negatives, players remember bonuses. In other words, they might not even think about it on their gear sheet. Oh, of course I've got that. Because, see, that's the only time when it could really come up. Because if you've got, like, I've got dead bat written on my gear sheet, and if that's the piece of gear that gets destroyed, I've only got one dead bat. I have no extras right now. I have not put in my order for Hugo Harrington, please make me 8 stuffed dead bats. You know? So, if that gets destroyed, I can't, you know, annoy and frighten old women.
Or escape, if you really need the spell to do that, because that could, that form seems like a useful spell.
I don't see it as a really great escape spell, because I think pretty much anybody who has any kind of ranged weapon, if they saw a giant bat flying over, I know I'd take a shot if I had any kind of ranged weapon, bow and arrow, crossbow.
Well, it's a giant claws-rated bat, so it's like...
Well, yeah, but
I can see it having its uses.
Yeah, I mean, but in, like, New York...
I'll shoot a bat.
Yeah, I was going to say, in New York, if a giant bat flew over, everybody who had any kind of gun, rock, whatever, would probably take a shot just because, you know, that's how
holy
people
shit,
are.
Holy shit, it's different. Gun it down.
Yeah, pretty much. So I don't.
Now, I'm thinking, you know, National Geographic and such.
Mm-hmm.
Selling the corpus for like 100 pounds or 100,000 pounds or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. That's my only thought on material components is basically players will forget they've got them, and you know, unless they need the spell, and then of course they've got them, and so they tend to phase in out of reality.
Just to make the point, Ormond has a spell which requires a material component, and he has the material component on him at all times.
Mm-hmm.
It's even one of his protected pieces of gear.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, then I guess that's the best reason for having reagents is just, you know, hoping they don't get blown up or whatever. But I mean, I think a lot of players will start carrying little pieces of stuff. Like, I know I carry string. It's not often string comes up where it's really useful. I mean, yeah, I can make a trap out of some string, you know, even if it's just, like, one that brings down a whole bunch of crap that makes noise or pulls a hand grenade pin at an inopportune time or something like that. But, you know, that's one of the things that may disappear when the gear disappears or something. But that's still a fairly rare thing unless you're, like, unless you have no gear on you, and then it always seems to happen.
I don't think you would have allowed that, would you? A piece of string? No, that's not a proper piece of gear. Choose something else.
Yeah. Well, I guess it'd be up to the GM and stuff, because, like, I know Doyle always carries 550 cord, which is basically thin, very strong cord, and he's used that quite a few times. So, you know, that's up to the point in my mind where I'd consider that a proper piece of gear.
And but he uses it. Timmy right. carries a piece of string.
But I haven't got an opportunity to use it because, you know, it never comes up. There's pretty much, it's...
You could use string for anything. You could have tied a parcel. You could have tied a knot in a piece of string and put it on your finger to remind you to do something.
In the
house, you could tie it around your finger and then tie it around somebody else's finger.
True.
Make sure they don't move out of line of sight or something. You've had ample opportunities to use a piece or string.
In the campaigns Timmy's played in, honestly, it's just they usually end up with a judicious application of force applied to the bad guy with various weapons, and then I there's no like MacGyvering and shit.
Okay. Yes, but there's no MacGyvering in any of... I can't think of any sort of MacGyvering that's happened in any of your modules either.
I think I've even had MacGyver in there.
Yeah, I know. There's no point where we go, quick, we must build the...
The glider?
glider was
right.
in
See? Yeah, MacGyvering.
No, the glider was a piece of equipment that was put there. It wasn't a MacGyvered invention.
I think the MacGyvering has happened maybe like once or twice, maybe three times in what I've listened.
I mean,
not that often.
It's not done the Nick Pirandello thing where he made the machine gun.
Oh yeah, not to that extent. No,
that was awesome.
No one has jury rig at 400.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was gonna say I'm surprised Timmy hasn't used it to accidentally hang himself yet.
The string?
Yeah,
I don't think it'll hold my weight.
I can see that with Timmy.
I mean, Ed Muntz always carries like 10 feet of fishing line.
Yeah, fishing line's useful.
You never know; it's useful, you know. Yeah.
If nobody else knows it's there, no, it's not.
Well, I'm not going to use it as a fucking garrote. I'm thinking like tying a parcel or lowering like a. Some small piece of gear to somebody. I don't know, something like that.
No, that's an entirely good idea to actually be carrying it, but unless other players know that it exists, then it doesn't really matter. If it comes up in the podcast, then it's not a piece of gear that you could lose from the gear card.
Yeah.
That's true.
No. Well, that's the gear card's a whole different topic, but...
Yes, I don't know.
So...
Well, we're... Well, no, it fits in with the reagents thing, as reagents are pieces of gear.
True. Okay, well, dealing with Dropsy, is there any other thoughts on that one?
I got a simple reagent. They can be gotten nearly anywhere, but you still kind of have to carry it. A slick pebble.
What would make it slick?
Pebble doesn't really...
Just smooth.
Yeah, no, that really doesn't... I like a bit of grease. Grease works. Grease you can get everywhere. You can make grease.
And what if grease is not available in the campaign?
Well, grease is...
Grease comes out of animals, dude. If there's any animal around, I can get you some grease. It's not going to be...
Oh, I thought grease was like an oil product. My bad.
I can get grease off a teenager's face, dude. I just scrape his fucking face and come up with a whole test tube of that shit.
Well, then you never need to carry it around with you.
Now, if you're a teenager.
Yeah.
Now, if your character's, like, pimple-faced and he's got acne all over the place and shit, then you can talk to the GM about getting around the grease thing, you know.
Can I just use my face? I take it with me everywhere I go just for the grease.
Ugh. So nasty.
Cross off my piece of gear. Damn, I lost my intern.
I could actually see that. That'd be one of those, like, MacGyver moments where somebody walked up and wiped an intern's face and goes, I have reagents for the spell. Drop that rifle. No!
Yes.
God, what would you feel like as that intern?
Useful.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Eh. So there you go.
Yeah, as I was saying, I don't like Dropsy. I don't know why. Just
see if you can figure out why.
It might just be the idea of the spell rather than anything actually wrong with it. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the idea of making somebody drop their shit?
As I said, I don't know. It might not be that. It might be anything.
Well, see if you can pin it down to something
I haven't really looked at it because it just doesn't grab me, but okay.
Now, I've seen it before in LARPs, and it's useful because that's where I got the idea from, because they had to spell it, I think they even called it Dropsy. It doesn't have to be called Dropsy, it could be drop your shit or whatever, but what would happen is somebody cast Dropsy and either somebody closer to the guy or the guy, if he cast it pretty much point blank, when the guy dropped his sword, for example, would kick it away. Like, ha-ha! You know?
Yeah, that's great, but that doesn't happen in Cthulhu. I mean...
Well, or pick it up.
Standing there next to the guy, and so he drops his sword,
Dropsy,
and then somebody else is there.
Right.
Then they're just going to smack him in the head. They're not going to go, I think it's sort of like
the cultist holding up the evil artifact or trying to hold up the sacrificial dagger and, like, Dropsy.
Or he drops the sacrificial dagger and it falls into the sacrifice and they go, he goes,
yeah.
Or someone is holding a decapitated corpse over his head. Dropsy on.
Awkward.
And it just falls.
Yeah.
Or someone is, he's like holding the delicate magic item or something like that. Dropsy.
Yeah, I can see a lot of, I even in non-CSI cases, if somebody casts drop, like they're doing the usual terrorist move and I shoot the girl. Dropsy. Fuck. And then bang, 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 bang.
Oh, that'd be great for disarming hostages.
Yeah.
That's because we wish to disarm those hostages.
Yes, they got too many weapons.
Yes, yeah.
They had a comment for them.
Yeah. So.
No, I see, I don't know, I can see the usefulness of it, but for some reason I just, I don't know.
Okay. I think it's perfectly legitimate, I mean, Bell, it fits in with a lot of other stuff. I don't think it's any wackier than pyrokinesis or something.
Yeah. No.
It's a good delaying tactic. He picks up his AK-47, I cast Dropsy again.
Oh yeah. Well, basically you could, for assuming that all the rolls got made, and assuming the magic points were there, then you could basically use it as a very primitive time waster type thing, where it's like, the guy gets ready to shoot you, Dropsy. Okay, he drops it, you've taken your round casting Dropsy. He picks it up for his round. Cool. Next round, you go first, Dropsy. Fuck, he drops it again. He spends his round picking it up. You smile. He looks at you. Next round, you cast Dropsy. fuck. Yeah, and so on. But again, you're limited by your magic points. You're limited by, whatever the resistance roll is. So, but assuming that, like, if it was somebody who's much more powerful, whatever, doing it, somebody who wasn't, yeah, it's effectively a time waster card, with the added, bonus that if it's delicate and it's a hard surface that, you know, like, if he's getting ready to throw a Molotov cocktail, and you go, and he's staying on concrete, and you go dropsy, his day got more interesting right then.
Or he has a grenade.
Or a grenade. That's awkward there. That's a bad time there. Dropsy versus grenades? Awesome.
Well, no. Not if it's a simple action to remove the pin.
Right.
I can't remember what it was, because you're not going to simple action remove the pin and then hold the grenade. You're going to throw it.
Right. You could interrupt with a haste card, though, because that lets you go whenever
you want. Oh, yeah. Haste and dropsy, that's wicked.
Haste and dropsy. I mean, it's
or
not
the,
often.
Or the adrenaline psychic power. Just right. Like, ding, ding.
Right. Yeah, because you can interrupt somebody else with that shit. So.
That's an interesting spell combo right there. I'd like that for dropsy.
Yeah.
A lot of magic points, but for a grenade, I'd do that. I think we got dropsy banged out.
Maybe. Something I was looking at that was mentioned there was the resistance rolls, duels, Bull versus Will, Essence versus Essence, etc. Should Essence just be removed from the list?
I'm wondering, because the problem with Essence is if the guy's not, I'm wondering if it should be on stuff where, because if the guy's not a sorcerer, the way that we've got Essence working right now, the sorcerer always wins.
Yeah.
And do we want an always win? If we did, why have a resistance roll if they're always going to win, you know?
Well, it's kind of a benefit of they're not always going to win. They might be weak. So, you know, it's kind of a benefit. Like, you want to build up your essence, little Timmy.
But you want to build up your essence anyway, because you want to be able to cast it more than once.
Yeah, so it's, they get it's more confident at casting their spells as their essence goes up. You know what I mean.
Well, depending on what essence is. I mean, we've got magic points as the fuel. You don't get better at digesting food, the more you eat it.
I tried to.
Yeah, I know. You're not more efficient at digesting it because you've eaten more of the same stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good thing, because, like, there's sometimes, like, the banish entity, magic points versus essence. I kind of see that because, you know, it's still actually essence versus essence, but you gotta save some back so you don't pass out. Type thing. Assuming that you haven't been busy on that day, so to speak. But, yeah, for the most part, I'm thinking that essence for the most part, like, for example, on the, cause blindness. I'm not sure if essence is necessarily the right thing, because it's like caster versus non-caster. Non-caster's always fucked. No hope. You know, because once you get like 10 points difference, you're done. 10 points is pretty much no chance.
I can't remember how much that costs.
8 magic
points.
Well,
if you want to eliminate it, reroute it all to Will, because, as I said, Will needs to become less of a dump stat.
Yes, I can see that.
I can go with that.
Just looking at course slash blindness, that's not necessarily going to do it, because it's only a cost of 8 MP, so an ordinary person could cast it on another ordinary person.
Yes, but I mean, I'm just saying that if it's essence versus essence, then there's a big disparity in essence. There's less of a disparity in Will, so we have to examine, is that okay? I don't know. I'd be happy to change most of the, I'm looking through right now to find out, because that's a good question, how many spells are actually essence.
I can only think of two off the top of my head, which is
Dread Curse.
Cause Blindness and Hex.
But Dread Curse is listed as Essence.
Dread Curse of Azathoth is an Essence jewel. That's because you're sucking Essence out of somebody.
Yeah, yeah. On that one, see, I look at Dread Curse as pretty much a sorcerer spell type thing, you know? I call it high magic, but something that people other than sorcerers aren't probably going to use. Drown Victim, for some reason, is Essence.
I'd have it be con. They are drowning.
Well, the idea is that you're forcing the water in, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a con roll after. It's a con duel, and then they have to make con rolls as well. It's just...
Right. You know,
Yes, what used to be Breath of the...
You didn't even get a roll. You're boned.
Yeah, lame limb is...
Unless the spell, like, runs out of juice before you drown, you're fucked.
Yeah. Lame limb is Essence versus con. I don't see too many people surviving. Or not...
I lame limb.
Right.
Well,
I don't think it should be Essence versus con, because then you can take down big things with it.
Not if they've got a high con.
Yeah.
Well, they'd have to have a really high con.
Well,
we do have a lot of useful moments of consciousness there. So if you're Doyle, while the seawater is boiling out of your lungs, you're choking the guy to death.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see him doing that. But,
yeah. I keep Wither the same then.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, kind of scales. The bigger the sorcerer, the bigger the creature you can take down reliably with it.
What were you getting ready to say, Richard?
I was saying I'm curious on the actual point of the duels at all, and whether they want to be there.
Well,
whether
without
we want them in there.
Without a duel, then the spell would always work. The duel is just two. Well, the castee, the target, that's their only chance to fight back if they have no pause.
Alright.
I would like them to have some chance to fight back if they have no pause.
Alright, so why is it a resistance roll? Why is there not a skill or something else called resistance? Well, why does it have to be against... I can see some sort of logic behind why the caster will have some influence on it. I mean, the better the caster you are, the better you are at forcing the spell through or whatever. I mean, essence is.
You mean resistance as drug tolerance only for magic?
Something along those lines.
But then you get into shit like, I really don't want to get into shit like spell penetration. Personally, I just want to avoid that whole resistance thing.
But you've got it already. It's there with the resistance roll.
It's stat to stat, it's more specific, you know,
But what if it's skill? What if it is skill to nothing else? What if this is just, right, you cast Dropsy, because that's the last one we were discussing. Well done. Now, this particular spell says there's a duel. Or a resistance roll. Well, why not just say, right, it's against the skill resistance?
Well, I have a couple of problems with that.
90% magic immunity. I really would like to avoid that. I really would.
Then make it essence versus resistance.
My problem with that is then you get... I mean, I don't have problems with like adding layers like, well, does resistance apply to you or and stuff you carry or just you? You have to worry like focus of spell, target and targeting stuff. And I don't think a single resistance skill that applies to everything supernatural is a good idea. I mean, now we've got to start breaking up magic into school. Like, there's a psychic resistance, and magic resistance for these types of spells and magic resistance for those types. There should be at least two, I think. Psychic and magic resistance, if you're going to do that. And probably more than that.
Personally, I'm happy with just being able to say willpower is your starting stability and your resistance versus many spells. Hence, having a high willpower is a good idea.
I'm happy with that, really. I do not want magic resistance for this system. All costs.
Then everybody's going to start with... I mean, everybody starts with a high will anyway.
Yeah, but they usually suck points out of it to put somewhere else because
they won't.
Damn, it's not that good.
But they won't if it's a...
Well, where the PCs, they pause them anyway, so I don't think the PCs matter too much in this specific context.
Yes, they do.
Hmm?
Of course they do. The PCs will be the main target for the spells. I mean, if the resistance roll is against will, which is fine, then somebody who is coming into the campaign is going to have a high will because they want sanity.
Uh-huh.
They're never going to suck points out of that now because it's also a high will, because you've got a high will. So the NPC comes up to you and says, I cast the spell. The maximum will they can have is 20.
Uh-huh.
Somebody, the PCs are going to have a will of, let's say 14.
Sure.
Which is 70 points of sanity or whatever. Is it 70? Yeah,
that's right.
They're always going to have at least
No, it's 16. It's 70, I believe.
No. It is 14 to 70.
Dude, 14. you don't know math, Kaitanos. Carry on, Richard. Kaitanos, don't talk because you're making me, like, start to lose Richard's point.
God damn, where was I? Right.
And now Richard's lost his point.
Shit. I have 10... I didn't gain an... Alright, fuck,
still,
I need to fix my character somehow.
You're still talking.
Sorry.
What was the point you're trying to make, Richard?
Well, nobody's ever going to suck points out of will. Nobody's ever going to... They're always going to start with a reasonably high magic resistance. It's always going to be at least 50%.
So willpower has now got a purpose... Other than just starting Sandy, hallelujah.
Right, but that makes casters who are starting to be casters 50% chance of any of their spells not working. Or any of the spells that they want to cast which have a resistance roll. At least. Is that a good thing? That they are going to have to work harder to do it? And the maximum, and let's see, 14 average, so they can go up to 20 will, so they're going to have an 8% chance that any of their spells that they can cast
8%
will actually go up.
Wait a minute, 14.
8-0.
Yeah, cool. And that's their maximum is 80% chance? I'd go to Vegas with those odds.
We're talking about PC magic users. I guess if you're talking about essence versus willpower, right, resistance, then they'll have to keep their essence high is all.
Well, everybody's going to keep their essence high because that's your magic points. That's what you can do. Mm-hmm. If essence did nothing except provide magic points, it's still a very valued stat.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or so not only magic points, but also artificing. Not to leave that.
And the only people who really have to worry are people who are investing permanent essence and stuff on the regular basis. So if you don't invest, so you're choosing between artificing and spellcasting.
No,
is a good trade-off.
Well, yeah, that's a good trade-off. I mean, I'm not sure what the relevance is to, having resistance rolls and stuff like that. I'm not sure on that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about resistance as like a contest between caster's essence, target's will.
If it's essence versus will, as soon as you pass about 24 essence, then the target's fucked. 95% of the time.
Yeah, there are very few essence where you're the, you're the one who rolls the essence roll. There are very few of those. Very few. Normally it's your will versus their con. Or their will. Or,
yeah. I don't mind if, like, having a high willpower in order to either force your spell into somebody else or resist somebody else's spell being forced on you. That's
it. How about using a will times 3 instead of will times 5?
There's no times, it's a resistance. In other words, if you've got a 14 will and I've got 18 will, that's a difference of 4. 4 times 5 is 20, so 20% in my favor. So,
mm-hmm.
That's all I mean. In other words, if I'm trying to make you suck up a spell,
that's 20%
in my favor, 30%.
3 times his favor instead of 5 times his
five
favor.
Times.
Oh, because I like the consistency of, like, if strength versus strength, it's always times 5 and all that.
Right.
I want to keep it consistent.
Wow.
But, yeah, I have no problem with, like, if you've got a 20 will because you're a sorcerer and somebody else has a 20 will because they hate sorcery and that equals 50-50, that's not bad. You know, or if they've taken all their points out of it, will, and made it to normal human 10, 12, or whatever, they're pretty much fucked. You know, if you've got the 20 will and you're a sorcerer. I'd rather go with that than the sorcerer always crushes them. Because they've got an essence of 30 or 40 or whatever, and the other person's got, even if they built their will up.
Yeah. Richard?
Yes, I was quiet. I was absorbing all the information.
Well, stop.
Leave some information for us.
I was going to say by absorb, I don't mean take away from you.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh, okay. That was in that movie with him. Okay.
So what do you think? Do you think it would be...
No, that's fine with that. It's just... It seems you don't want it so that things are always crushing the little guy.
Yeah, the little guy's fucked enough. And for PCs, spellcasters, NPC spellcasters, just because of the way a system's built, are pretty much a joke. For PCs, because if you think about it, the NPC spellcaster gets, let's say he's really good at what he does, he gets 4 cool spells a day. There's 4 PCs, that's 1 pause each, you're done. Yay. You know, unless he has some like red sign where it's just like whittling damage type thing, and then the PCs can probably take that, and they're probably going to kill the guy within the first couple rounds, even if he's got hordes of minions. Nobody's going to fight the minions first. They're going to try to kill that guy because even though they may not even really notice the damage he's inflicting on them, he's still pissing them off. So they'll shoot past the, you know,
ravaging hordes. Yeah, that depends on whether...
Unless he's behind a plexiglass.
They
don't
from the top of the hand, but if NPCs know about Foz, then... They build it so that the guy can't get at them.
Right, right.
And they just sit in there and go, you can't pause this stuff.
Yeah, but...
Then we got, the answer to that is not having people try to do the Dresden thing and go wildly toe-to-toe with things that are way more powerful than them.
Right.
But I think most of these spells... If these guys are... They're Cthulhu Mythos spellcasters that survive a fair amount of time. They're probably evil masterminds. They're guys that sit in a basement and do shit to you from far, far away.
Well, okay.
Ideally, ideally, you never even know, like, what the fuck is going on.
Right, right. I have no problem with, like, if somebody gets, Omen's walking down the street, and somebody clips a piece of his red hair, and suddenly, you know, dives on top of a car, and yells, drive, 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 and Omen chases him and can't get him, and then later he has to spend one pause just so he doesn't go blind. Neat.
Right, that is a real problem now. Like, you can't leave your hair, your blood, all sorts of shit anywhere.
Right, well, that's why I think Omen follows, that's why I'm figuring Omen follows around Bruce, you know, his personal barber, whose name I still remember and don't know why, you know. So what do you think, Richard, should we change any essence duels to willpower?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, come on, Richard, say the correct words. And keep any other jewels which are currently in there, such as con or whatever else.
One objection.
I have no problem with keeping the air ones as they are, but, you know, looking at the essence thing, yeah. What do you want to talk about, Kytales?
I have one objection. With a limb, I do think the more powerful of a sorcerer you are, the bigger creature you should be able to bring down, and some creatures, just like, say, simple mundane creature, a bear probably has a really high